Okay, yeah, I was saying good evening. It's indeed a privilege to be able to share from the Word of God with you tonight. I'm going to share on a topic I called Tired But Inspired. I'm going to share with you from the book of Mark chapter 6. We're going to look at the whole chapter. It's from 1 to 52, but I will not be reading the whole chapter, so not to worry, but it would be helpful if you turn to it, so you can follow along. So while you're looking at that, someone once said, you need time, energy, and money, and if you have these three things, you would have a good life, and you would be very happy. But the same person observe that actually it's really, really difficult to find someone who has all three. What he actually found was that most people just have two. So you either have time and money and no energy, or you have energy and money, but no time, and it goes on. So sometimes people, it's difficult to find all three. But then there's a situation when you don't even have one of these, or two of these, you're only struggling to have one of it. Sometimes you reach a situation where you really feel very low on your resources, very depleted, and very exhausted, and very tired. We often hear people say, I'm exhausted, you look exhausted, you look tired, is everything okay? It's quite common, isn't it? Because we all go through feelings like that sometimes. I remember feeling very tired one day. It was early in September, and I was walking to work, and I usually pray, you know, I say a prayer as I walk to work. That's when I get the chance to catch up, and I said, oh God, I am so tired. And then I was just thinking, what are some of the things I can stop doing? And I just heard the Lord saying to me, come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then I went to work, and Pastor Christy called me and asked me if I would be happy to go back on the road to preach, and I thought, I'm really tired. So here I am, just speaking to you today about this, you know, how God has spoken to me. I know that I'm not the only one who is feeling this way tonight. I know that some of you are feeling tired, and some of you feel worn out. Some of you here tonight feel like your strength and your hope need to be renewed. This isn't just about being physically tired. What about being emotionally tired and mentally tired and spiritually tired? We go through phases like that. You know, when we feel this way, it is always good to look for the wisdom of Jesus to keep us going. And my aim tonight is just to encourage those of you who are feeling tired and exhausted. I just want to be share with you, so just to encourage you to keep on going. And I will do that by taking you through a 24-hour day in the life of Jesus and his disciples. And while this may not be a typical one of Jesus's, you know, and his disciples' typical day, I do believe that we can learn from this specific day. As we sometimes face days like these, we sometimes face seasons in our life that really resemble this one, because Jesus was tired too, and he can relate to exactly how we feel. So if you have Mark chapter 6, our story began after Jesus would have returned to his hometown and was preaching in the villages around Galilee, and he sent out his disciples as well. And they had been out ministering from villages to villages, healing sick and casting out demons. They were busy doing all this work all day. They were working. It was going out and praying for people and healing, you know, seeing people getting healed. And there were crowds of people. They were ministering to people. And we know that when we do minister, it could be hard work sometimes. So they were doing this. And they were seeing results, and they came back to report to Jesus. They were, you know, excited, tired, but excited. And they came to Jesus and saving the demons, you know, they're subject to us. And they were very excited in reporting this to Jesus. But, you know, during the time when they were reporting to Jesus, they also, in the midst of coming back, reporting to Jesus, feeling a bit tired, they had some very sad news. At that time, they heard that John the Baptist was beheaded by King Herod. And, you know, their excitement and their tiredness, but now they're very sorrowful. Now they're grieving. So Jesus recognized his disciples needed a break. And if you look at verse 31, he said unto them, "Come ye apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." They were very busy. And Jesus recognized, Jesus saw exhaustion afflict his own disciples. You see, the exhausting circumstance that Jesus saw that day is similar to those experienced by us, even in our work or in the ministry. We experience that. And there are mainly two reasons for this, or I've identified two reasons. And the first one is urgency. It's that sense that something or many things must be done or handled immediately to avoid disaster or avoid some negative outcome. And if you look in the book of Mark is one of those books. It's very fast-paced book. It's not like the other gospel. Mark, his favorite word actually is immediately. And it's not my finding, so it's a Google one. But from chapter 1 to chapter 7, the word immediately is found at least 28 times. Everything was just moving fast. And sometimes it feels like our life, isn't it? That we have to keep moving. There is so much to be done, and it has to be done now. We need to do it now. And that tend to leave us exhausted. And the next reason is the press of constant need. You know, the realization that around every corner, there is a need to be met. So urgency and needs, it characterized the ministry with Jesus, isn't it? And if you look in previous chapter, Jesus was saying to his disciple, he said, "The fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few." I don't know, but you and I know when we're at work and we're short of staff, the workload double. And it's a bit like being in the ministry, isn't it? So basically, Jesus was saying, we're short of staff. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers into the vineyard. But because of all of that, sometimes we find that we work and we labor and we get tired and we get exhausted. And Jesus understands that. So when Jesus gave this invitation for a retreat, he was saying to his 12, "I know you need rest and I know you need some privacy because of your tiring ministry expedition that you just had and this continuing press of people. I know you didn't even have time to stop and eat. So come away and rest a while." But things didn't work out that way. They went into a boat, into a desolate place, to go over on the other side, only to find it swarming with 5,000 men, plus women and children. So the quiet rest, instead of quiet rest, they had another full day of ministry. Verse 33, "And when the people saw them departed and knew him, they ran afoot before him." They ran before them out of all the city. They outran them and came together unto him. You see, the fame of Jesus had spread so widely that even in this hiding place, the multitude found him and gathered unto him. We serve a God who looked beyond his own needs, isn't it? And the Bible says, when he came out of the boat and he saw the people, he was moved with compassion towards them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. The term sheep having no shepherd is an Old Testament picture or phrase that used to describe people as helpless and starving and lacking in spiritual guidance and protection and exposure to perils of sin and spiritual destruction. That's when he's saying basically they're like sheep not having a shepherd. That's what he's seeing. And so even though Jesus was headed to this desert place to rest and to recuperate with his disciple, his heart was still moved for the people with such great need. And Jesus was never too busy to help them. And he is never too busy to help us in our needs either. Because Jesus is the great shepherd. He is the good shepherd. And his concern is mainly for his sheep. And Jesus, he continued to teach them because they were hungry. They needed something. That's why they were running after him. And he continued to teach. But if you go to 35 and 36, it says there, and when the day, look at that, was now far spent, it was late, his disciple came to him and said, this is a desert place, and the time is now far spent. Send them away, that they may go to the country around about and unto the village, that they may buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. I can just hear the exasperation in the voices of the disciple as they ask Jesus at the end of the day, send them away to the surrounding countryside and village to buy themselves food. Look at the time, Jesus. It is getting late. You have spoken so long. We are exhausted. We are hungry also. You forgot the crowd and the press. We had not stopped to eat since. It is a long day. Can you just send them away? You see, sometimes I can hear that same exasperation in my own voice. Sometimes I hear myself saying, can somebody else do that? Can somebody else take on that responsibility? Can I stop doing that? There is no rest anymore. I am so tired and there is so much to be done. God, I am so tired. You see, when exhaustion hits us, it is easy to choose our own path. It is easier to pursue the result, the end result, instead of being patient with the journey that it takes to get us there. So we just say, send them away. Let's forget this part. Let's not do that. Let them help themselves. And Jesus is the good shepherd. He turned to his disciple, look at 37, and he said, you feed them. These were tired disciples by now. He said, feed them. Jesus, you got to be joking. You got to be kidding. Not only are we exhausted, you're pushing it. But we need to find money to feed at least 10,000 people. It is late, so we don't have the time, and we don't have the energy, and no, we don't have the money. How are we going to do this? It was about 8 months of a man's wages they were estimating, and still they said that might not even be enough. And Jesus, but he knew exactly what he would have done. And he said, how many loaves do you have? And they did a quick thing and they found they have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And you see, the disciple has not, at that point, did not yet learn that nothing is impossible with Jesus. No situation is too difficult for him. All they could have think of was their physical. So he said to his disciple, he said, command them to sit down in companies on the green grass. And they did. They sat in 50s and 100. That's how the Jewish people normally sit at festival. It makes serving food a bit more convenient, I think. And then Jesus took the loaves and he took the fish and he blessed it. He raised it to heaven and he blessed it. And again, he gave it to his disciple. And these poor disciples were at work again. He said, serve 10,000 people. That's hard work if you imagine what it is. They were tired. And he says, go and serve them. They were all sitting, waiting to be fed. And these 12 disciples with their bread and fish walking through 5,000 men plus women and children, feeding them. And so they fed, and the Bible says that they were all filled. They ate and they were all filled. The hunger of everyone in the crowd was completely satisfied. And I don't know, Jesus was going on, and he turned to his disciple and he said to them, now when they finish eating, I want you to tidy up. Just don't leave anything hanging around. They were on the hillside, to be fair. The birds would have eaten the leftover bread, if you think of it. But Jesus was teaching them something here. He said, go and tidy up. Pick up. Don't leave anything hanging about. And they did. They pick up 12 baskets full of fragments of bread and fish. So after serving the crowd and tidying up, Jesus made his disciples. He constrained them. He almost forced them. He said, get in the boat now and you go over to the other side, to Bethsaida, while I dismiss the crowd. So the disciple by then, they got in the boat and Jesus was left with these people, and he eventually dismissed the crowd. And the Bible says that Jesus went off to pray, and the disciple, they were in their boat. And I can only imagine the disappointment in the disciples' face. What happened to the quiet rest? That precious one-to-one time we were hungering for. What happened to it? The day is now far spent. And sometime in our life, it feels like that. It feels like we have labored. We have worked hard. And when it's time for us to just put up our feet and have a little rest, it doesn't seem to happen. And we ask ourselves, what happened to that rest? Lord, did you not see how much I have done? All I need is that little time away. All I need is some quiet time. All I need is your little blessing just for me to have that. What happened to that quiet time I was longing for? And Jesus went. The disciple went over to the boat, and Jesus went on to pray. You know, it's very important. Jesus was feeling exhausted too. He was teaching, and he was with the disciples throughout this journey. And so he must have been feeling exhausted at this point. But Jesus went off to pray. And despite how exhausted we feel, it is very important that we stop and pray. And if Jesus needed to pray, just think how badly we need to pray also. And then we come back to the disciple. In 47, when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and Jesus was alone on the land. And while Jesus was on the land, it seemed as if he looked over and he saw them. They were toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. That's verse 48. So Jesus looked over and he saw them. They were in the midst of the sea, battling a storm, a very stressful situation, bearing in mind the time of the night. The fourth watch is the time between 3 to 6 a.m. This was the time. Instead of a quiet rest, they are in the midst of a sea, now not only fighting for rest, they're battling for their lives. They're struggling. It's getting worse this day, almost. And they're rowing as hard as they could. The west wind was blowing, and they were making no headway at all. And all these disciples wanted was a little getaway and a little rest. You see, the fourth watch of the night is the darkest time of the night. It's that time just before dawn. And I want you to just be encouraged, because sometimes you may be at that place. And Jesus is saying, I am here with you. In your darkest hour, I am here. I have not abandoned you. You may feel like it. You may feel it's dark. You may feel, God, where are you? But I'm here with you. And they saw him walking and they thought it was a ghost. And I don't know if because of their fatigue and if because of this stormy condition and they were afraid. And now they're seeing this thing. They probably recognize the figure as Jesus, but it's all the disbelief and everything coming together. And they cried out thinking it's a ghost. And also the impossibility of someone walking on water. They have never seen that before. So they just cried out for help. And God, like when we cry out for help, Jesus was there to help them. And Jesus realized how frightened they were and how distressed they were. And he spoke with such comforting words. He said, "Be of good cheer." This is a command always Jesus would say in situation where there was fear and apprehension, and it's a command that urges the disciple to have that continuing attitude of courage. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. It is I, meaning literally I am. This statement clearly identifies that figure they saw as Jesus, not some ghost. And it also echoes the Old Testament self-declaration of God when God said to Moses, "I am who I am. Be not afraid, I am." And Jesus told them not to fear and he got into the boat. When you look in Matthew, you will see on this same occasion that Peter walked on the water. It's interesting because actually Peter was telling Mark what to write in the book of Mark. It's Peter's story actually we're hearing in Mark, and somehow Peter left this bit out. I'm not sure why, so we wouldn't go into it, but Matthew did mention it that Peter did walk on the water on the same occasion. So Jesus got into the ship with them, and the wind ceased, and they were so amazed beyond measure, and they wonder. I just want us to reflect a bit on that story. Looking back, that very long day, over 2,000 years ago, was hectic and tiring, and by all appearance, did not go as planned. But looking back, the disciples got something far, far better than that rest and the sleep they were desiring and longing for. They heard the teaching of Jesus, verse 34. They were able to pray with Jesus, verse 41. They got to serve alongside Jesus as he performed one of his greatest miracles of his earthly ministry, verse 42 that was. They sat with Jesus and the people who loved Jesus, verse 39. They ate with Jesus and they walk away with a basket full of broken bread and fishes too, each. They saw him as he displayed his glory as he walked out on the water towards them. And one of the most important things that happened at the end of that very, very long and exhausting day was that the disciple received a new revelation, a revelation of who Jesus is. I'll just take you back a little bit. In chapter 4, the disciples were left with a question, who is this man? After seeing Jesus calm the storm when they were in the boat, they were asking, who is this man that the wind and the wave obey his voice? At the beginning of chapter 6, the crowd was asking the same question, who is this man? And some said he was a prophet, and some said he was Elijah, another one of the prophets. And Herod himself said, this got to be John the Baptist who rose from the dead. John the Baptist I beheaded. It's him. He came back. Everyone was asking, who was this man? And the Bible says that the disciples, they did not understand. Their hearts were hardened. But at the end of a long, hectic day, when they thought they were at the end, Jesus revealed to them. They got that revelation when he said, do not be afraid, I am. I know Kingsley spoke a couple weeks very beautifully on this same topic about I am. And Jesus was basically saying to his disciple, I am the good shepherd. They were able to see that. I am the provider. I'm the one interceding for you. I am the great teacher. I'm the healer. I am merciful and I'm compassionate. I am the creator. Wind and waves obey my voice. I am the great I am. The disciple at the end of that day had that revelation then. You see, the event of this day also set the scene whereby Jesus introduced the first of the seven I am sayings. Because following this event, he says, I am the bread of life. This day had such a great impact upon all the disciples. And as a matter of fact, it is the only miracle recorded in all four Gospels apart from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then you go on to chapter 8, Jesus conducted a little test. Well, it's not probably that little, but Jesus conducted a test. He said to his disciple, he called them and he said, who do men say that I am? And they say, men call you a prophet or John the Baptist and all sorts men are calling you. But Peter said, he turned to his disciple and he said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I just want to conclude here with encouraging you to say Jesus knows exactly what your very long day feel like. We all have long days. We all have some time. We have a day, maybe it may be a season in our life, and it feels long, and you feel exhausted. You feel like you have come to the end of your rope. You feel your resources are depleted, and you're thinking, I do not have the energy. I do not have the strength. I do not have the time. But God is the one who gives strength. His strength is perfect. It does not fail and it does not run out. And God is the one who gives strength to the weary. In Isaiah 14, verse 31, we know that verse very well. It says, but those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The young men shall run and grow weary, and they shall go tired. But those who trust in God, you will not grow tired. He gives strength. To the disciples, Jesus said, be not afraid, it is I. And to us today, Jesus is saying, God is saying, to us who are weary and to us who are tired and to us who are very exhausted, he's saying, do not fear, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, I am your God. I will strengthen you. And I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand because I know you need a break. I know you need that rest. And God is saying, I will be with you and I will uphold you. Thank you.